Time for us to head to the hotline and bring in the first guest of today's show. He's a guy that Dom Tiberi has been trying to avoid on the golf course for the last month and change. And one of these days, Dom Tiberi is going to have to answer the call. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus joins us. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing over there up in the area?
We are doing great, my friend, and boy, a lot to digest after last week's win for the Buckeyes over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And I think the first thing that comes to mind would be the offensive line, my friend. I've been reading and I've been listening to a lot over the last few days. If I didn't know any better, I would have thought that Ohio State lost that game to Minnesota. I think people were just really disappointed that the Buckeyes didn't completely annihilate Minnesota. But if you look at the pure hardcore numbers, yes, maybe there's something that's a little concerning, but do you think these offensive line struggles are a real issue, or do you think they're kind of overstated at this point?
Oh, I don't think they're overstated by any means. I don't think it's a fluke either. I think right now it's something that the offensive line and Coach Greg Sadrawa need to have a hard look in the mirror and go, what's going on? I honestly think it might be a mindset. You know, you look at what Dwayne Haskins has been able to do passing the ball, and pass blocking is completely different than run blocking. Most offensive linemen, they prefer to run block because they're going to get after people instead of waiting for the defensive players to come to them. But at the same time, you know, it's a mindset that can they get over the fact? Do they have that aggressiveness to be able to get after defenders and block them out of the ways instead of having the defenders come at them? I think they do. I would not be surprised if the Buckeyes put up 200-plus yards of offense on the ground this week against Purdue.
We'll get to that Purdue game here in just a little bit. But along those same lines, Donnie, I mean, I think you can always equate offensive line play to the effects of a running game, good, bad, or indifferent. You think that lack of a running game is going to be a bigger problem, not only this coming week against Purdue, but, you know, Ohio State, of course, has a couple of pretty big ones coming up later this year. I say kind of, because the Michigan State one is, at this point, kind of a big game. The Michigan game is a really big game, and I see 2.9 yards a pop in that game last week against Minnesota. That seems a little concerning, but, I mean, I also think that's the kind of thing they can get away with.
I think it's very concerning for the Buckeyes. You know, don't look at that Spartans game as a kind of big game. That is a big game. That's a game the Buckeyes can lose. It's at Michigan State, more than likely going to be a 3:30 or a 7:30 start, you know, under the lights up at East Lansing. Don't sell your Spartans short. I think that their run defense will be very – will come to play, and I think it will be on the shoulders of Dwayne Haskins again to be able to play that one, except this one, again, on the road in a very tough environment, Michigan State.
Along those same lines, look, you can get away with those numbers when Haskins is throwing it the way that he is, over 400
Absolutely.
Yards through the air again. Donnie, that really covers up a lot of problems. Can he continue to do this, though, over the next few weeks?
Absolutely. I completely think he can. You know, I don't think he's going against any, big or top 10 defensive backs in the country that are going to be going to the NFL here anytime soon. He's playing against Purdue, who doesn't have the greatest of defenses, get the bye week, which he should survive that one pretty good. And then he's got Nebraska after that. So, you know, the next big challenge I think Dwayne Haskins will have will be facing Michigan State up at Spartan Stadium. The big thing the defenses can do now is they can wait on the pass because they already know that Haskins more than likely isn't going to run. Urban Meyer said this week during his Monday press conference that, hey, you know, we had 10 to 12 run-pass option plays called. We have 10 to 12 run plays called. And something clicked with Dwayne Haskins where he said, hey, I like the way this looks for a run play, and they were able to pass it instead of run it, and it went for big yardage. So, you know, they might have a run play called, but if they have a check down to a pass play and Dwayne Haskins like the way that looks according to what the defense gives him, more than likely he's going to check out of that run and go right to a pass. And right now it's proven to work pretty well.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dunny, we've got to talk about Nick Bosa. And I know the loss of him is certainly something Ohio State maybe didn't anticipate for the rest of the season, though they had played okay without him in recent weeks. This can't come as a total shock and surprise, though, can it? I mean, you have a guy like this that's expected to go in the top five in the NFL draft. Who can blame this kid for deciding that he's going to forego his last season and not risk any further injury?
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. You can't blame him one bit. And I honestly don't think he was going to be available until mid-December. He told our Dom DeBerry on 10 TV yesterday, we put it on our newscast at 5, 6, and 11, that you know it's a 12-week recovery process. You go back, you do the math from the TCU game till you know put up 12 weeks, you're well into December before he's fully go. So I think it's very smart for him to concentrate on his rehab, concentrate on his training for the NFL. Everybody already knew he was leaving. He had already made that well known. He was going to the NFL draft after this season. He made that known pretty much during the spring that this would be his last year. That it makes total sense. You can't fault him one bit. And he's a $10, $20 million man walking around the campus of Ohio State. Can't have anything else happened to him that people don't foresee.
Down there, I know it picked up a little bit of steam. Some folks were comparing what happened with Denzel Ward to what's going on here with Bosa. I think the two situations are a little bit different. I don't blame either guy for what it's worth. I mean, look, Denzel Ward skipped a bowl game, which you know my thoughts on bowl games. I don't think they mean very much unless, of course, you're talking about a playoff game.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, and Denzel Ward missing that game didn't mean much. It means a little bit more for Bosa to essentially skip the second half of the season. Now, I don't know when it would be exactly that he'd be deemed ready to rock and roll and fully healthy.
He's not skipping the second half of the season. He's skipping sitting on the sidelines in sweatpants. He wouldn't be available until, as his father said, mid-December. There goes every game from now until after the Big Ten championship game. If the Buckeyes lose a game, they're more than likely not getting into the playoffs. So you have been back to play, what, a meaningless bowl game and maybe in the Fiesta Bowl or the Rose Bowl? You know, those aren't meaningless, but when you compare them to the college football playoff, they're meaningless.
Sure.
So I think he's making a very smart decision in his mind to sit everything out, get ready, get prepared for the combine, get prepared for the NFL draft so he can answer these questions. He's got to be smart for him. You know, he is still the ultimate team player. You saw in the press release yesterday when they called him a brother. He's still very well part of the brotherhood. None of his teammates really fault him for you know, withdrawing from school to do this. To me, it makes complete sense. And it's the complete same thing with Denzel, Denzel Ward last year in the Cotton Bowl. It didn't make much sense for him to play against USC for the thought of getting injured. You saw what happened with Jalen Smith at Notre Dame when they played the Buckeyes in the Fiesta Bowl a couple of years ago. He gets injured. His draft stock fell completely from a top 10 pick to the Cowboys taking a flyer on him in the second or third round. I can't remember what round. Now, he has proven his worth since then, but that has been a very scary moment for Jalen Smith.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Dunny, this weekend, a bit of a different test. I don't think Ohio State's going to have any issues against Purdue again. We'll have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. A few weeks ago, you mentioned to us, though, that Purdue is a team that the Buckeyes really shouldn't sleep on. So I want to give you an opportunity to explain that. When you said that at the time, I thought, I don't know if I agree with that, only because this is the same Purdue team that lost to Eastern Michigan, but this is a team I know that you mentioned Ohio State just can't sleepwalk through. Give us an idea as to why Purdue could be a little concerning for Ohio State.
For one, Ohio State does not play well at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. I want to say, and forgive me if my numbers aren't completely correct, I just saw this yesterday. I believe the Buckeyes are 13-8 all time at Purdue. Those numbers aren't exactly the best when you're looking at playing against a Big Ten team. So they always play them tough at in West Lafayette. you have three offensive players that I am afraid of for the Buckeyes. DJ Knox, I'm sorry. They're running back number one for the Boilermakers. You have number four, Rondale Moore, a freshman, who, if he reminds me of anybody in the last couple of years from the Buckeyes, it would be maybe a smaller version of Paris Campbell. An H-back with lots of speed. He can run up. He can play running back. He can play wide receiver. He can throw the ball. What he does is very interesting. And also their quarterback, David Blau. He can throw it. He is a pretty accurate arm. He can throw the deep ball. Those three players, if they're on, it will be a very stern test for the Buckeye defense come Saturday night.
I'm anxious to see how that turns out. And you're right, Ohio State doesn't exactly have the best history at Ross-Age Stadium. They've certainly been tested there in years past. Purdue, at the beginning of the year, certainly struggled. But I'm really, really interested to see how Ohio State does on the road. Boy, speaking of Ohio State and the Big Ten and the entire landscape of the conference right now, it's been beat up a little bit this year. Michigan's win over Wisconsin. I don't really know what that says exactly about the balance or lack thereof in the Big Ten at this point. You know, Michigan State's win over Penn State, not too surprising to many. But with all of these things coming into play here, Dunny, is Ohio State really the Big Ten's only hope to make the playoffs at this point? Or do you think Michigan can climb that ladder if they're able to win out?
I think Michigan can climb that ladder if they're able to win out. And there's some other losses to, say, Clemson, to Alabama, to LSU. Notre Dame would have to win out for Michigan to get there, because an 11-1 Notre Dame gets in over a 12-1 Michigan because they have the head-to-head battle. So I would think Notre Dame would have to keep going. Michigan would definitely have to win out.
So let's play this thing out. Let's just say they both went out. Michigan and Ohio State both went out going into the final game of the season. Is it realistic to think that the winner of that would go on to play in the Big Ten championship game, and if they win that, that would be enough to get them in? Because this is the beauty of college football. So many things can change between now and the end of the year. A lot of top dogs could lose, but I just get the feeling, Dunny, taking a look at what's happened to the Big Ten this year, that Ohio State might be the Big Ten's best chance.
And that's if Ohio State goes undefeated. You look at the two big wins Ohio State has. They beat TCU. TCU is the same TCU that they played there in Week 3. The Horned Frogs are, I believe, 3-3 overall since that game. The Buckeyes did broke TCU because they're not playing how they normally play. Penn State now has two losses. They're down 10 spots to number 18 in the AP poll. 16 in the coaches, they're not looking the same. They just got beat at home by Michigan State. So who wasn't even ranked when they beat them? So I think Ohio State's strength of schedule takes a hit with those two teams losing and losing how they are and to who they're losing to. I think Ohio State needs to win out in order to get in the playoff. Michigan, because they lost to Notre Dame, who's number four overall in both polls, that has a little bit more leeway, and because they beat them week one of the season.
So there is no margin for error for either team the rest of the way, correct? Is that safe to assume?
Correct. No doubt about it. There is no margin for error.
All right. I kind of figured we were on the same page there, but wanted to confirm on that.
Yeah, you look at major college football, you have a few undefeated teams left. I believe it's single digits, but the top four, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, those are your big four. If they stay undefeated, they win their conference championship games, with the exception of Notre Dame because they're not in the conference. If they just go undefeated and win their next five, you're looking at your top four, and probably in the order they're in now for the college football playoff. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Notre Dame 4.
Going to be interesting to see these cards fall here in the next month or so. We should have a much better idea as to who is going to play when come bowl season. Dunny, before we let you go, my man, what are the big matchups going on week 9 down in Columbus at the high school level?
Definitely the biggest game we have is our Get Set Before You Bet game of the week. That's going to be in the Columbus City League South Division between Walnut Ridge and Marion Franklin. Walnut Ridge 7-1, 6-2 is Marion Franklin. That would be a huge game in the City League. And then in the OCC, It'll be Reynoldsburg hosting Pick Central, Pickerington Central. Both teams 7-1. Pickerington Central, the defending state champions in Division One. Reynoldsburg looking to take that title away and win their own title here this year. That will be a huge matchup tomorrow night on 1st and 10.
Good stuff, Donnie.
I'm used to being on Thursdays. On Friday night, on 1st and 10.
Yeah, close enough. We knew what you meant. We knew they were playing on Friday. We had a pretty good idea.
Always a
pleasure catching up, my friend. And we'll do this again next Thursday to talk about another intriguing Buckeye matchup. I believe next week they're taking on Nebraska. Whew.
Next week they're on the bye week, so I hope it's not as intriguing.
Well, you never know, man. Last time we talked about a bye week, there were a lot of injuries and off the field news. So we'll see what happens. Always a pleasure catching up, my friend.
Got to beat the bye week. Good talking to you too, Andy.